Ladies and gentlemen, we are on the road today, the campus of Stony Brook University, and we are sitting with senior guard forward for the Lady Seawolves basketball team, the one and only Miss Earlette Scott. E. Scotty, how you doing?
I'm good.
You all right?
Yes.
Miss Scott, last year, you and your teammates captured the American East Championship, punching your ticket to the NCAA tournament. Take us on that ride with you, man. How was it?
It was unbelievable, honestly, like a dream come true. With COVID, things were
challenging.
Yeah, very challenging. It was a struggle, you know, with the COVID tests and like 2 times a week. You had to stay in your rooms. You were very isolated from everyone, even like your teammates, your family. I know I didn't, even being like an hour away, I didn't get to go home a lot. So it was very challenging, but it was a dream come true.
That's tough.
Definitely a dream come
true. That is tough. So the championship was kind of like validation for all those sacrifices you guys made. When you think back at the championship, like what's the one image or moment that stands out to you?
Pretty much like you said, like the sacrifices and just everything, you know, you put in to just get an award at the end is just the best moment, like the best thing for me. Pretty much like the practices, the long practices, long days, that's pretty much the best part of it, to look back and know that, you know, you put in all this work and it was worth it.
When I learned that you were a part of the Lady Seawolves and you guys had captured a championship, you know what I thought?
What?
She did it again. She did it again. I know Earlette from being a high school baller from Brooklyn, New York, playing for the South Shore Lady Vikings. And Earlette, tell them, in your high school career, how many championships did you win?
I have 4 champions.
4 city championships in 4 years, plus 1 state championship.
Yes.
When I thought about that, I'm like, yo, what was the key to sustaining that level of success?
Just not settling, knowing that, you know, when you win, it's more to win. Like, for like example, like when we won the city championship, like we knew that it was more than just a city championship. We knew that it was a state championship and it was more goals ahead. So just staying the course and just being motivated and knowing that, you know, it's just not the end with just 1 championship.
Right, like you guys don't have the luxury, you didn't have the luxury of sneaking up on anybody. Y'all got everybody's best shot. That had to have been exhausting.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely exhausting just knowing that, you know, when people see South Shore in their calendars, they're circling it. So, I mean, we're up for the challenge, but it was definitely exhausting day in, day out.
I'm sure. Staying motivated. You played for the living legend, who's still at it, Anwar Gladden. Yo, we want all his secrets. What can you tell us about playing for Anwar Gladden?
Anwar, first you have to know that it's just not him, and he's just not the brains behind it. It's a whole bunch of other coaches that are behind it. Coach Q, Coach Bill, Coach Schmitty. Those 3 guys are just off the top of my head, but like Coach Thompson, like, you know, it's a village. Like, it takes a lot of people to be successful, and I think Anwar knew that, and he looked as like to assistant coaches for a lot of help. So even though I want to give the credit to Anwar, I have to give it to, you know, everyone else that helped produce, you know, what we call greatness, honestly.
Greatness indeed. It takes a village. What do you think is the biggest lesson you learned while going through that run, being under the tutelage of Anwar Gladden, and as you mentioned, all the other assistants? What's the biggest lesson you think you learned coming out of South Shore?
The biggest lesson? Honestly, to not take nothing for granted. I know, like me personally, I have 4 city championships and stuff like that, but like people who've came before me, like I know they've played at the Garden and haven't won, and I was like the first year we have won. So, you know, just being humble and trying to just take one day at a time, honestly.
That's what's up, man. And that's something I've always appreciated about you, watching you play basketball as a high schooler. You know, I would see her in the summer playing in the Loyal to the Game Summer Classic, and in the summer, sometimes athletes think they could take it off of downtime. You was not playing any games. Every game was special, man, and that's something I always appreciated about you. Coming out of high school, you chose to play at Providence. Your college career first started at Providence. What was your reason for going in there?
So coming out of high school, I was the number one recruit from for Providence, and I got a good relationship with the coaches there. I know one of the assistant coaches that recruited me, Coach P, she recruited me and she was like, we had a relationship from the beginning. And you know, I liked it there. It felt like home. Mm-hmm. I was comfortable there. I liked the girls that I was coming in with. So everything just felt right. So.
Gotcha. How would you describe your time playing?
It was cool. It was cool. I changed my position. Well, my position got changed to point guard. So I was more of the general.
What was your original position?
I was more like the wing, 2-3.
So you were playing point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was playing the point guard and stuff, so roles were different. I was being asked a lot for being like a freshman, sophomore there, so it was cool. It was cool, really, on the court. I just had to, you know, find myself and find where I could, you know, get a bucket, honestly.
There you go. I was reading something, and there was a quote you had, you know, following your freshman year. You said there was some challenge. You said, quote, "So after freshman year, I did some reflecting on life and me as a basketball player. I specifically improved my shooting and my mental health," end quote. What was going on in there? What did you do to improve your mental health? What type of reflecting did you do?
Well, I think I struggled a lot with being away from my family. So that was a big thing in with me even struggling. So I just tried to find myself again, speak with my friends, my family, just, you know, find happiness in everything I was doing, honestly, and just caring a little more. I think I got very careless in life, period, and just, you know, reflecting back, I just cared more after that.
How did you know it was time to move on from Providence?
When the year I transferred, a lot of other people transferred, so it was kind of just a decision for my career, and I was kind of looking down the line. I was maybe it's not the right fit for me because of my position and just of the things they were asking and just the program itself. So yeah, I thought it was time to part ways.
Those are tough decisions for you young folks.
Yeah.
You know, that is really a tough decision. Who were some of the people you relied upon to help you with it?
Of course, Anwar. He's helped me through everything, literally everything. My mom, my sister played basketball, so she kind of knew the roads. And she also played JUCO, so she knew transferring within the college life. So yeah, my mom, my sister, Anwar, they helped me tremendously.
Going through that process, not only do you have to first come up with the decision to move on, and then you have to find a new home. How did you end up choosing Stony Brook?
So, when I was coming out of high school, I was looking at colleges, and I was thinking, things that were basically unnecessary, how I was living, my living situation, the food at the dorms, stuff like that. So the second time around, I was just trying to focus on my relationship with the coaches, things that they couldn't portray to me, things that they couldn't show me. They couldn't show me a dorm. You can't fake a relationship. So right. I was just focusing on things that they couldn't portray that they just had to show.
Right.
So yeah, that was the biggest thing, just personal relationships with the coaches, the players.
What advice would you give to young athletes going through that process or contemplating making a transfer?
Go with your heart. Go with your heart. I know most of the time I try to go with my feelings and emotions and, this coach calls me too much and this coach talks too much and stuff like that. But go with your heart. Go with what you think is right, what you feel is right. And that won't fail you. Go with your heart.
Let's look forward to this season because you are in a unique position. You're coming off of a conference championship, but you have a new coach.
Yeah.
You know, usually when you think about a championship team, okay, we're going to run it back, we're going to put the band back together, but your former coach has moved on, and now you have a new coach, and Ashley Langford. Tell me about the first time you met her.
Oh, I met her, well, it was through the phone. We had a phone call and stuff, and we kicked it off from the beginning. I loved her energy. I loved her, like, I loved everything about her, honestly. Like, before I even met her, I loved her. She was cool. She was down to earth. She felt like she had my best interests at heart. And that wasn't with her just being, like, hired. It was, like, it felt genuine. So, yeah, I really like Coach Lang.
You're in the same place that you won a championship, same jersey, same gym, but it's a new regime. Right, so you and different people running the practice. What's that transition been like? Are you guys helping coach out? Cause she's new here. Are you guys helping coach with the transition?
It's been tough. Yeah, we definitely have been. It's very like shocking to even know, like I kind of know the campus better than my coach who, you know, has just got here. So practice has been tough for the most part, but coming here last year, I've got the opportunity to like learn different programs and organizations. So this turnaround wasn't the worst thing that could have happened, or it could have been the worst thing that I couldn't catch on to, but it was good. I think it was pretty tough, but right now, you know, we're grasping onto things and we're making progress in the right direction.
When Coach Langford and her staff talk to you, senior, championship forward, what do they say your duties and responsibilities are for this squad?
For the most part, they want me, well, not just me, but, you know, people that have been here to just be leaders and lead by example. It's clear that we've shown success in the last year and the year prior. So just, you know, keeping things consistent with what we do. I think that's what she really harps on, like being consistent on what we do and like staying like disciplined and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So, Arlette, for those who've never seen you play ball, like describe your gameplay. What can we look forward to this senior year? Big guard.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm a big guard, three-level scorer. I can get to the basket. I can, you know, shoot the three. I'm really good at the mid-range shot. Yeah, I'm pretty much a three-level scorer. I could defend on the other end. I'm kind of like a LeBron in a sense. You know, I do everything on the court. I'm not too small. I'm not too big. So,
is that your favorite player, LeBron?
No, it's not. Ooh. I like Carmelo Anthony.
Melo.
Yeah.
What do you think has been the biggest improvement you made during your college career, like compared to who you were coming out of high school till now?
My maturity level has like skyrocketed, especially like from my freshman year to now. Just being a leader like off the court. I know a lot of times like I'm a leader on the court and then off the court I'm more reserved and laid back, but I've tried to like transition that from off the court, well, on the court to off the court. So I think, you know, my maturity level, my positive talk to my teammates and stuff like that has improved tremendously from my freshman year to now. Also, on the court, maybe my three-point ability. I know my freshman year at Providence, I probably made like three threes like in a season. And last year was probably one of my best three-point years. But yeah, definitely my three-point range and stuff like that has improved tremendously too.
Be closer to home.
That was the biggest thing with transferring. I knew I wanted to be closer to home. So even when considering all these different schools that were recruiting me when I transferred, I always kept an eye on Stony Brook because I knew how close it was. So, and that was my thing. I wanted to be around my family and stuff like that. But yeah, my family has been there through pretty much everything. Recently in August, my grandma passed away. And she helped me like even get like eligible here because I like told them my NCA and stuff like that. Like, you know, I want to be close to my grandmother, stuff like that. So they granted me eligibility. So my family has been there pretty much through everything. They come up here all the time. We didn't get to have fans, but my mom would watch the games like every day. We had games on a weekend. She would watch the same two games all week until the next one. So my family has been there, yeah. My mom, my sister, and my brother.
With your grandmother, you said she passed. She was ill, and that enabled you to get a hardship transfer from the NCAA, so you didn't have to sit out a year. My condolences.
Thank you.
How big of a loss was that for the family?
Oh, it was a big loss. I have a small family. My mom's the only child. My grandma was the only child. I have no aunts, no uncles. My dad he has a brother, so I really have no aunts. I'm one uncle. But it was definitely a big loss for our family. You know, she was our rock, our glue. She kept everything together. So it was a big loss, but.
What impact do you think that loss is gonna have on Earl Scott, the basketball player?
Oh, big impact. I'm kind of nervous for the other teams.
You locked in?
Yeah, definitely. It's big year, statement year.
Senior year, Miss Earl Scott. How do you go about, I guess, setting goals? You write them down, is it a vision board, is it your iMessage? And what are some of your goals for the senior year?
Well, I don't really write none of my goals down because they're so important, so I already know them from the top of my head. Obviously, another goal, well, one of my biggest goals is to win another championship, go to the NCAA tournament, obviously get out the first round, maybe win a national championship.
Why not?
Yeah. Personal goals, probably America's All-First Team. Pretty much. That's pretty much it. Player of the Year. Why not?
NCAA tournament, you guys went last year. The site was in Texas, San Antonio, correct?
Yes.
A lot of the coverage was about, well, early on, was about the discrepancy in the facilities. The men's gym facility versus how the women's facility look. How much of that coverage did you guys consume while you were on site in Texas?
Not too much of it, to be honest, but we like walked past it and stuff, obviously recorded and stuff like that, but it wasn't too much of it.
Any ideas on how we could close that gap between the men's game and the women's game? Because you guys are doing the same. I was telling Robert, who's here from the Stony Brook staff, Arlette was one of my favorite players of all time, coming out of the city, men and women's.
Thank you. Honestly, the women, we just have to continue to do what we've been doing, and you know, respect will come. We can't alter what we're doing because the respect isn't there. So we just have to continue doing what we're doing, staying down to earth, true to ourselves as women, and sticking together. And honestly, the respect will come. It will come.
It will come. A few things. Earl, what's your major?
Sociology.
How's class going?
It's going good.
Okay.
Taking a Spanish class right now, so struggling a bit, but we're making strides in the right direction.
Looking forward to graduation?
Yes, definitely.
What do you see yourself 5 years from now?
5 years from now, I see myself playing professionally somewhere, either WNBA overseas with my family. Just living life.
Sounds good. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man. We're gonna be watching, tuned in. You are a stellar young lady. Like I said, you was always focused, always dialed in. And it's no secret that you're having the success, and we are rooting for you.
Thank you, appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's WBH Radio. I'm William Holly, we out.